Good morning. It is a joy to bring the Word of our living God to you this morning, and I pray that it will be an encouragement to you. This is a passage that I have found to be very helpful in my life, and I hope that perhaps it already is for you, but if not, I hope and trust that it will be when we're done. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And the title of this message is Finding Strength in Weakness. Finding Strength in Weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The occasion for Paul writing this section is Paul's defense of his apostleship with some influential people who had come into the Corinthian church and sought to discredit Paul. He says he's an apostle. It is being threatened that he's not an apostle by these who have come into the church, which has major ramifications if their confidence in his apostleship wavers, because his message is now at stake. But the manner in which Paul defends himself was to boast about his credentials of his apostleship. But ironically, the credentials that he chose to bring up were his own weaknesses. How many of you have ever, when you want to put yourself forward, to say, hey, you can trust that I am who I say I am. Let me give you a list of my weakness is to prove it to you. But that's what he does. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. He says, now, granted, if you're not familiar with chapter 11, go back and read it. That's a long list of his weaknesses. And he wants to go further. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it, because those who had come to Corinth had boasted about their credentials. So Paul says, I'm going to boast about mine. Although it's nothing to be gained by it, I'll go on to visions and to revelations of the Lord. Now I would ask you, but somebody might raise their hand and say, yes, have you ever had a vision or revelation of the Lord? I have not. Paul had. I don't want to hear about your vision or revelation. But perhaps. But Paul had. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. There's the heaven which is the sky. There's the heaven in which the stars exist. And then there's God's heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Only God knows that. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. He says it again. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And this man, he heard things that cannot be told, which may not be uttered. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, because of what I saw, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. So that's our text. Now, the specific weakness that Paul refers to in this text is translated as a thorn. And the word for thorn in the flesh could either be literally a thorn or a sharp stake. And we have no idea what it was, and there have been many conjectures. If you start looking through commentaries, everybody's got an idea about what this was. It's amazing how this happens often in Scripture when people begin to write about something that the text tells us zero about, how many people become confident of what they believe it is. But it brought enough pain to Paul, and he'd been through a lot. A whole lot. But whatever it was, this specific one, it was so great, intense, ongoing, whatever the nature of it was, that three times he asked Jesus in verse 8 to take it away from him. Three times. Now this is not me and my spoiled American, don't mess with me, create any kind of ruffles, no suffering life. This is Paul, who said that, who knew by Christ's own prophecy to him when he was saved, I'm going to show you how many things you must suffer for my name. That's what happened to Paul when he got saved. Jesus told him ahead of time, I'm going to show you how many things you must suffer to spread my name. Wow. But three times, it was so hard, it hurt, he was afflicted. Three times he said, Jesus, take it away from me. And Jesus said, no. I'm going to leave this one with you because there's a plan with this. This happens. Sometimes we pray and ask for deliverance. And Christ takes it away, right? And sometimes He doesn't. This is just reality. I don't wish this on myself. I don't wish it on anybody. But it is reality. Sometimes He says, no. I have a plan for this. Again, we don't know what this specific thorn was, which leaves the application wide open to us so that any kind of weakness can fall under this. Any kind. We need to embrace this. Look at your life. What are your weaknesses? What are they? So here's the point. A Christian's strength is found in the application of the Lord's grace to us in our weaknesses. A Christian's strength is found in the application of the Lord's grace to us in our weaknesses. It's like a formula. And to the degree that we can see this as a reality in our lives, we will be strong. That's why we need to change our thinking. God's power is not nearly as evident to us and to others in our natural strength as it is in our weaknesses. Right? You've seen the testimony of somebody going through a lot of suffering and they have peace, they have joy, they're serving, and you say, how are you doing that? God is sustaining. Right? We see that. I don't know if you saw, it went viral, I guess, every now and then I look on Facebook, but there were several of my friends had posted this incident that happened recently. It was on Desiring God with a missionary family that was killed in a car. How many saw that post? Yeah, so they were heading from Minneapolis to Colorado to finish up their training, and this fall they were scheduled to go to Japan. Young family, husband, wife, 29 years old, three little children. And they were rear-ended by a semi-truck on the freeway, and all of them instantly died. That's the plot of some of us. Our friends, our relatives. Unfortunately, on one side it's unfortunate because it's part of the curse, but it will collide into our lives. And yet, in the context of this passage, this is the channel that God wants to display His power in. It's the stuff that can break us in our own strength. But God's power can come into the forefront in these opportunities. There's one statement in our text that stands for us for God's effective working of strength into a person. And it's in verse 9. After entreating the Lord three times to take this afflicting thorn away from him, Paul said in verse 9, He has said to me. Paul asked him, and then he says, He has said to me. And the tense indicates that Jesus gave the final decisive word, and it's still ringing with certainty in Paul's ears. What did he say? So we see this, that the Word of God is so central to God orchestrating and channeling power, because it's connected with our faith. We have to believe Him and His promises in what He has said. Paul anchored his thoughts, everything is going to unfold, on what Christ had said to him. And this is what he said. And this is my first point. My grace is enough for you. My grace is enough for you. This intrinsic attribute of God that He displays to sinners that He has redeemed, He says, this channel is enough for you. This is the word that Jesus gave to Paul. Everything you need, Paul, is in my grace. That's what Jesus is saying to you this morning. Everything you need is in my extension of grace to you. So the first thing to understand about our pursuit of strength is that it is not in the removal of our weaknesses. Although, don't hear some morbid knucklehead here, if God gives you a path of deliverance, take it. But that is not the primary pursuit of strength, not removal. So we cannot say, if I just had no weaknesses, if I just had no limitations, then I would be strong. If I were just not brought up this way, then I would be strong. If I just did not have this tendency to sin, oh, I see, yeah, you do that, but you don't know what kind of tendency to sin I have. If I just didn't have this, then I would be strong. If I just had a better spouse, then I would be strong. If I just had more money, then I would be strong. If I didn't have these physical limitations, then I would be strong. No, because God is not interested in getting us to brag about our natural strengths. Everything that we need is found in the total work of Christ on our behalf, which purchased a new man for us. You see, that's the picture. The old man has to have hunky-dory or he is not strong. But the new man is not that way. Christ purchased a new man for us so that we can walk in strength. So, you want to look at this in its most dramatic demonstration. How was the grace of God displayed? In the most climactic, most declarative way. Was it not in the weakness of the Son of God hanging on the cross? Was that not the most clearly defined demonstration of the grace of God? And does not Paul say in 1 Corinthians 1 that this is the power of God? Right? What looks to the world as the uttermost act of weakness is God's pouring out of His grace and power. So, in pursuing strength, we realize that it's found in the gracious gift of Christ. It is by this gracious gift of Christ. We cannot extract our thinking from this. You need strength. You need power. You cannot divorce a clear view of Christ from gaining this power. In your fight against sin, hey, God leaves certain weaknesses in us for sin. Not for us to say, well, God just didn't give me the way out. God just didn't, you know, He didn't remove this from me, so no, that's not why He left it there. He left it there so you'd learn to lean on Him through Christ. So all of our weaknesses are in this same vein. So, He says, my grace is enough for you. And then, true power in a Christian is found in God's power infused into him. In the moment. Okay? In the moment. When you learn this, you begin to see how prayer is connected to it. You see your weakness coming. You see some calamity right at your feet, at your doorstep, and you turn to Him immediately. Help me. Daddy, help me. Right? I need strength. I'm weak. And He infuses it. So a person's strength is seen in the power of God worked into your life. And God can do this. Let me give you some examples. Let's go to Proverbs. Look at this with me. This is really practical. And I think about, this is so basic for my own life. Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to look at two different spectrums here. Proverbs 16 verse 32. So here's the proverb. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You ever had your buttons pushed? And then he says, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So you've got this contrast here of, in the ancient world, you get the city up on the hill, and one guy runs up the hill, takes the whole city. Who ever heard of that? Right? Samson, I guess. But one person, if there's a man that strong, that mighty, that much of a warrior, and yet the proverb says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his own spirit than he who takes a city. So the opposite, let's look at the opposite spectrum. Flip over to Proverbs 25, verse 28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. There's the other side of it. A man who cannot control his spirit, he's like an ancient city that's already been broken apart. The walls are down. It's over. That's what he's saying. So when we look into this, men, when we look into this, because I know this struggle, anger comes up at times when things don't work out our way, whether it be job, whether it be home, whether it be whatever. And we just realize how weak we are. You little man! You can't even control yourself! And we embarrass ourselves. Even if nobody else knows it, but you look back and you go, ah, you're a raging idiot on the inside. And the scripture says, a man who can control himself, there, that's a strong man. How do we get there? How do we get there? It's a weakness. And God wants to work out His power in that, in our lives, in these areas. Can He do this? So how do we get the kind of strength that makes a person mightier than someone who can take a city by himself? Or power to rule his own spirit? You know how much power it takes to control yourself? It takes supernatural power. We can't even control our tongues. James 3 says, who can tame the tongue? Right? Which leads us to another component under the heading of His grace is sufficient. The pathway of Christ's power is our weakness. The pathway of Christ's power is our weakness. So we cry out, God, take this from me. Sometimes He does. He loves to be a deliverer. But sometimes He leaves it because He says, no, your weakness is the pathway of my power. Call on me and watch what I'll do. And that's why this weakness was left in Paul. Because the grace of Christ was everything that Paul needed. And in weakness, Paul would sense his need and he would cry out for the power of the resurrection to endure it. And here's the connection. When we finally see, no, you've left this here to teach me something, to cry out to you. He said, why do I continue to struggle with this sin? He took away these, whatever, you name it. You know, when I became a Christian, some of these things, they just left. I didn't want them anymore. And then He left these little things in me. He could have taken it all away, couldn't He? But this is His plan. To teach us to cry out to Him. I tell my kids this all the time and they look at me and they go, hang on, I know. You think I'm an idiot. But one day it's going to click with you. Because we're so stubborn. And we really are just little children who got to cry out like to a parent, I need you. And so He does that. Weakness is the frame that God wants to use to fill us with His power. If you think of a picture, our life, a picture that He's painting, well, He's framed it in something. Weakness. He has. Look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So this letter that Paul has written, 2 Corinthians is just a dripping emotional letter where Paul writes the entire letter out of his weaknesses, appealing to a church that he loves so dearly. And then it is coupled with this massive display of the glory of Christ. So, you see these two things. The glory of Christ, the picture that He wants to paint in our lives. But the backdrop or the frame is through suffering. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. So Paul's been describing the process of comforting in the midst of suffering. But he says, for we don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength. Got that? Pushed to the point, I don't have strength anymore. And you and I, we wave the flag and say, I'm done. And he says, no, that's right where I want you. Pushed past our strength so much that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But there was a purpose. That was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Can I just tell you, if He leaves your life hunky-dory, you miss out. You do. We miss out. What do we miss out on? Him! We just take all His blessings. And He stays small. But when He strips it for seasons, when He pulls it away for seasons, we got nothing left but to stare at Him. And then we're filled with His power. In our weakness, God teaches us to cry out to Jesus for help. And He says, "My grace provides you with an endless resource of strength." And this is so much greater than our natural abilities. Now, I'm going to use this as just a practical application. So we're coming up on a new year of ministry. And we had our family camp encouraging us, maybe for some of us to get on for the first time or to get back on board discipleship. The whole process is discipleship. And you say, "You know, I'm not comfortable there." That's probably something you need to jump into. Now, I'm not talking about if it's totally outside your gift set. You can't carry a tune. Don't worry about music. That's not for any of us. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other areas that, you know, "I'm just not comfortable there." Hey, you know what? That may be right where God wants you. So you learn to call out to Him. "Can you give me strength here?" Right? Man, I've been forced to grow in some areas I just did not want to. I got pushed by leadership into areas that I just did not want to serve. And I had to really ask for help. And you look back on the other side and you go, "Oh, there was a plan in that." So, God's grace provides you with an endless resource of strength. And what happens over time is you realize, "Oh, I know where the source of strength is. I can do this. I could do that. I could do that." Why? Not because of me, but because I know He's there for me. He's there for me. So we must learn to run to Jesus for strength. Interestingly, in John 14, 8, Philip said, "Show us the Father, and it is enough." It's the same word. It is sufficient. But then Jesus responded by saying that seeing Him was seeing the Father. And the implication is that Jesus is enough for us. That's exactly what was said, what Christ said to Paul in this text. "Show us the Father." If I just had, and Jesus says, "I'm enough." Everything of God's power is found in Christ. Beloved, we have the resources. When you look at the book of Colossians and it just becomes so clear that the theme is the supremacy, the preeminence of Christ above legalism, above asceticism, above angels and visions, above anything else. Because God is saying the resources are available in my Son. And in that light, we run to our mediator. As Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then draw near to the throne of grace, because grace is sufficient, that we may receive mercy and find grace." When? To help in the time of need. Need is weakness. That's why you need. You don't need when you're in strength. At least you don't sense it. So we see the connection. It is coming to Christ. "My grace is sufficient for you." Second, it is not in our strength that we are strongest. We need a counterintuitive perspective of our weaknesses. The second half of verse 9. It is not in our strength that we are strongest. We need a counterintuitive perspective of our weakness. In other words, our thinking has to be reshaped. When Paul heard this decisive word from the Lord Jesus, it changed his entire perspective. In Philippians 3:10 and following, we read that Paul had one driving passion: to know Christ more. Now, all of us, if we're believers, have that in varying degrees, because we do want to know Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. You love Christ. 1 Corinthians 16, "Anyone who does not love the Lord, let him be accursed." If you don't love Jesus from your heart, you're not saved. Period. So we all have this in varying degrees. I know that. But Paul, because of his vision of Christ, it was the driving passion of his life, was to know Him and the power of His resurrection, which included for him, in context, Philippians 3, the path of suffering. So, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, the statement he makes, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses." Paul has an eagerness. When you read this, you realize Paul is now eager for weakness. What kind of crazy man is this? Right? So what, we know he's not crazy, he's brilliant. But it's not about that. It is about what he sees on the other side of it that drives him. It is not normal to think like this. Nobody thinks like this normally. No sane person thinks like this normally. It's the goal that Paul is after. And here's the goal. The goal in driving us to dependence through weakness is to produce a steady reservoir of Christ's power residing in us. The goal in driving us to dependence through weakness is to produce a steady reservoir of Christ's power residing in us. When you think of a reservoir, it means this big bank. If you think about it in financial terms, I have a large reservoir. I'm okay. I can take these hits. I got a reservoir. If you think about it in California water terminology, we got a big reservoir. It's okay. We can handle the drought. But when the reservoir gets low, we're getting nervous. But the goal spiritually is to produce this reservoir in us. Back in verse 9 of chapter 1, he said it like this. It was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. You see the connection? Think it through. We're relying on God, but he doesn't just say, "I'm relying on God." It's God who raises the dead. How much power is involved in that? The resurrection. Enormous power. And Paul is saying, in my weakness, with this thorn, whatever it was, that power is available to me through Christ. That's the power. The next time you're faced with that same temptation to sin that has derailed you, stop. Realize, this is the power that's available to me. I don't have to act like some slave anymore, is what Paul says in Romans 6. Because this is the power I have. Or the next time you're faced with the financial crisis and the worry thoughts come pummeling on you, I don't have to treat it like this. The text says I have this power available to me. This is the new man that Christ bought for us. And as we depend on the Spirit of God, this channel is available to us. So you see, I've practiced. Okay, I learned it in the little one. I learned it in the next bigger one, and the bigger one, and the bigger one, and the bigger one, and the bigger one. We're in the Olympics right now. They've learned through these trials. They've been there before. We've been down. We can fight through this. Why? God has brought me through this time and time again, and now I have a reservoir. I know where to go. I don't have to immediately default to flesh to make it through this. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. The Spirit points us to Christ. Walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of our flesh rage during our time of weakness, right? That's the time to rely on Him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Paul could survive his lack, his need, his financial poverty, because he learned that the secret was his strength through Christ. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor. Notice the connection to grace here. If His poverty or His weakness made us rich, that's what the text says, won't then it also make us strong? Won't Christ's weakness through the cross, won't that really make us strong if it made us rich? How about Hebrews 13:9? It is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Huh. Man, this is amazing. The grace of God through Christ can really strengthen a soul. Right? So when we get Christ out of the picture, we got our eyes off the cross. We're not thinking of God's love for us, His infinite love for us at the expense of Christ. All that He has prepared for us in Christ, you see how we don't have strength. It is good that the heart be strengthened by grace. So thinking on Christ makes us strong. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let everything that God has given you in Christ just richly dwell in your hearts and your mind. May it become an anchor and a reservoir. We have to ask the question in connection with this. What kind of power belongs to Christ? And we touched on this. But what kind of power belongs to Christ? Because the point is that this is what we get. Look at it again. He says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the very power of Christ may rest upon me. What kind of power belongs to Christ? As we roll these verses that we just looked at in our heads and ponder them, we must exercise faith and cry out through prayer to access this. Will He say no? If He's promised it for us? Will He say no? He wants us to access it. Ask Him. He won't. Beloved, He will not turn us away if we ask Him for power through Christ. You see, our weaknesses drive us to our knees to get us to pray so that Christ's power can be applied to us by the ministry of the Spirit. That's the goal. I remember Steve Fernandez saying one time, God knows how to get you to pray! He does, doesn't He? Let me just give you an example, and I may have shared this with you before, but about 3.5 years ago, we were down in Vallejo, and one of my sons, I won't mention him, I have 5, so you can... But one of my sons, every night, he was so wired. And it was 9:30 or 10 o'clock every single night before I could get him to stay in his bed. And we believe in discipline. And he got a lot of it. And he just wouldn't turn, this guy. And I'm just on my knees begging God, I got so much to do. And every night, this was back when I was still working for Davy Tree, every night I couldn't get to sleep. I couldn't even get started on the stuff I had to do until 10 o'clock at night. And yeah, I commute the next morning and God, please change this child. He's got to let me get to my stuff. And I finally realized, you know what? If you're going to do this, I'm going to read the Bible to you every night. I'm going to poke your brain full of His Word. This is where you're going to be, then. This is what I'm going to stay up with you. I would sit by his bedside, literally, just, no, stay a minute. I'm just tired. My wife can attest to that. I got so tired. And finally I said, fine, I'm going to read the Bible to you. And then I realized over a while, I mean, we just started doing that every night. And I realized, I wanted you to deliver me from this. And he was saying, no, I want to leave this weakness here so you can put my word in their minds. And we started going through book after book of the Bible. I would have never done that. There's no testimony to me on that. It's all because of his own providence. I'm like an idiot, you know, stumbling over what to do. But that's an example. Christ has your weakness left there because He's got a plan for it. He wants to accomplish something through it to display His power. You see it? Weakness is power. It's Christ's power. That's what Paul said it means. Why am I going to boast in my weaknesses? Because I know what it means. And He gets all the glory. So he wants to reshape our thinking so we will see weaknesses as an opportunity for us to depend on Christ so that His power will live in us. Not just occasionally, but over time where it's just a reservoir. We're just constantly flowing through this. And we can tap into it continually. All right. My grace is enough for you. It's not our strengths and our strengths that we're strongest. And third, this is kind of a repeated unfolding. All the weaknesses that a Christian can encounter are conduits for Christ's power. All of them. So we need a counterintuitive perspective about the entire breadth of possible weakness. That's why I started at the top and said, you don't know if I just... All of them. Because you are in His love. When you look at Romans 8, He is bending over backwards to say, you are so much in the eternal, infinite focus of God's love for you because of Christ. So much so. And I know this is hard for us to remember. I battle the same thing. But because of that, any weaknesses you have are conduits for Christ's power. You can hear the echo of Philippians 4. Look back there. Over. Forward. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 10. We've already ended on verse 13, but he says, I rejoice, Paul, same author, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. He's talking about finances. He's talking about ministry finances. Support me in the gospel work. He said, I was so excited when you finally had an opportunity to fulfill this. Verse 12. He says, back up to verse 11. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know, verse 12, how to be brought low. Paul said, I've been to the bottom. And I know how to abound. I've been up here. And in any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, one bean can in the cupboard. I know what it's like. And I've learned how to be sustained in that. Here's the secret. No matter what, and all, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. It's the one who strengthens me. I've learned this over time. Praise God for my weaknesses and my suffering. And I don't sit here asking ahead of time, God, give me more. Maybe Paul did that because he had a better understanding than me on it. I'm not there yet. But looking back, retrospect, thank you. Right? So, Paul lists the gamut. Back in 2 Corinthians 12, though, verse 10, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content. With weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Whatever it is. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. It may be physical illness. It may be berating comments from people. It may be a spouse who has not measured up to your desires or your expectations, and you say, it may be children with great needs. It may be persecution or any other category. In all these, we have a Lord who tenderly and mightily supplies us through His Spirit because He loves us. And He says in 1 Peter 5, cast your anxieties, your cares on me, because I care for you. Now, verse 10 serves as a parallel to the previous verse in case we didn't get it. That's the way Scripture works. Say it one way, say it again. Say it again to make sure we get it. We can delight in weaknesses because of the experience of Christ and His strength. Now notice what I said there. We can delight in weaknesses because of the experience of Christ and His strength. We read it, and then we experience it. God never meant for this to not be a part of us. It's not that experience is everything. It's just that the one who has objectively revealed His Word and these truths about Him wants to drive it home in our hearts. And He wants us to taste. Right? It's different to taste versus just hearing. He wants us to taste it for Himself. He wants us to taste how He provided strength in our weakness. He wants us to taste what it means to walk by faith. I don't know what this next step's going to look like, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to trust You here. I'm going to trust that You're over this, that You're greater than this. I'm going to trust that You already knew my spouse was going to act like this when I married him. And I didn't. I'm going to trust that You know what kind of kid I have. And I'm going to trust that You knew these illnesses were coming. I'm going to trust that You knew that I would be born in this time when our country's falling apart. I'm going to trust that You knew these things. And I'm going to turn to You and say, can You give me strength in the middle of them? So suffering is a unique opportunity to experience the presence and the power of Christ. And this is the point. Jesus becomes very sweet to you. When you've experienced His answering your prayers, your little cries, your little helpless beckoning for Him to give you strength. And you go, oh, You said My grace is sufficient for you in verse 9. You said that the power of Christ may rest upon me, verse 9. And You said it's for the sake of Christ in verse 10. It was because of Christ that this massive turnaround occurred in Paul's thinking. Christ was Paul's prize. He loomed so large on Paul's horizon, and he made the connection. My weaknesses mean a greater understanding of Christ. It means a greater experience of intimacy with Him. It means knowing His power in the midst of this. And that, in the book of 2 Corinthians, is what eclipsed His sufferings. When you read chapter 4, you get that. That He is saying, the glory of Christ has eclipsed my sufferings. And then, as a follower of Christ, what is another reason for this echoing, we need a triple reminder that when we are weak, we are strong. He says this in verse 9. My power is made perfect in weakness. He says it again. In verse 9, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he says in verse 10, because when I am weak, then I am strong. The question is, do we get it? Are we willing to get it? Are we willing to embrace it? For the first time, maybe. Baby steps. Or just to continue on. This is a believer's strength. So, when you get ready to serve in a new way, expect weaknesses. You say, I'm going to start teaching a Sunday school class this week, or this year. Guess what? It's coming. Every week when you get ready to teach, you're going to get pummeled. Possibly. You say, well, God did not... No, that's right where He wants you. Because you can't communicate His truth. And so you're going to ask Him, can You please help me? And He's going to do it. Or, when you want to work on your responses to your kids or your attitude with your spouse, expect it to get harder. Not easier. Why? You got to call out to Him for the strength to go through it. Satan wants to derail you. As soon as you make that choice for a new line of service, or you've been convicted about something in your home, or you want to bring the gospel to another country. You know what happens when missionaries go to take the gospel? They get hammered. Angelo, when he went to India, I mean, it's just story after story. You read William Carey, you read these people. They got pummeled. Because Satan wants to derail it. And Christ says, I'm going to leave it there because I'm going to really work through this. So, we can call out to Him
and ask Him to help us. This is the channel of power. This week, be encouraged. Be encouraged. This is for all of us. And He promises this access. Is that, well, if I get to be such a big... No, it's not that. It's every child of God. All you have to do is come to Him. Ask for the resources. Look into His Word. See what He has for you this week. And maybe you're oblivious to what's coming this week. And when it does come, remember, we just got out of this text. Nowhere to go. You don't have to pull it up like that. You can go humbly to Him and say, I'm weak here. Will you help me today? On the job, this moment, driving down the freeway, whatever it is, with the little one in front of you, how am I going to handle this situation? Right? We don't have to go to flesh. We can go to an endless resource. This is how we find strength in our weaknesses, for whatever it is. Let's pray. Father, we need to live this out. We need Your help. We need this to be embedded in our hearts so that tomorrow, this afternoon, who knows what's coming? Oh, Lord, who knows what some of Your saints will endure this week? Give them peace and comfort. Give them the sweet presence of Christ. May Your grace be so just channeled to them. Oh, hold us up this week and help us to remember little bitty children coming to Daddy asking for help that You've provided for us in Christ, these resources. Help us to grow. We know this is by Your grace, that these little steps we would make would be for our growth. May You be glorified. Amen.